Now, we're going back to the theme of the way that Jezebel comes to power. You remember we said it was on a political federation. She was riding this scarlet animal, the scarlet beast. Going back now to the 17th chapter of Revelation, we find that Antichrist also exploited the same political federation. Revelation 17, verses 12 and 13. Well, that's right. And again, we're talking about the animal, the beast with the 10 horns, the 7 heads. It says in verse 12, "The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast." So, the scarlet woman rides on the beast, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. But the final version of the animal, which is the horns and not the head, give themselves into the hand of the Antichrist and are manipulated and controlled by the Antichrist. That's the final version of the political scene in Scripture, as far as I can see, in this age. Now, in a certain sense, just as the true church is the bride of Jesus, the false church is the bride of the Antichrist. But Jesus treats his bride very differently from the way the Antichrist treats his bride. Here is a lesson. I tell people, if you let the devil have his way with you, he'll treat you like a lemon. He'll squeeze you until he's got all the juice out of you, and then he'll throw you away. I'm reminded of something that happened in Jerusalem many years ago, before World War II. There was a Satan worshiper in the old city. And a certain missionary went to him. And the next time he emerged, he was a believer in Jesus Christ. The former Satan worshiper. So the other missionary said, "Well, what did you say to him?" And this missionary said, "I just gave him a full history of Satan from beginning to end." You see, I tell people many times, listen, if you're on Satan's side, you're a loser, because he's a loser. He's not going to win. He's losing. He's going to be defeated. You better change sides while you have time. And he's not going to treat you fairly. You can do everything you like for him, but in the end, he'll treat you like that lemon. When he's got all he wants out of you, he'll throw you away. And that's how he deals with his bride, you see? If you look here in the same 17th chapter, verse 16, "The 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled." So the 10 horns are just subject to the beast, the Antichrist. And the ultimate end of the harlot is to be destroyed by the 10 horns. They will make her desolate, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. So the ultimate end in history of the false church is to be destroyed by the same political power that they manipulated to gain their place. It's really It's really, I don't know, I'm impressed when I think that nobody ever fools God. Sooner or later, you'll find out. It's better if you're not on the right side to change sides quickly. Because the devil doesn't treat his servants right. The Lord is going to lavish his love and his blessing and his provision on his bride. She's going to share the throne with him throughout eternity. But the false church is going to be torn to pieces, cast aside, and left as a relic of history. So, where do you want to be? Where are you going to belong? See, this isn't just an empty question. Remember what is the deciding and divisive line between? What is it that marks out the true church from the false church? The true church has remained loyal to Jesus Christ. The false church has been disloyal. See, it's not a question of whether you speak in tongues or not, although I'm all in favor of speaking in tongues in the right setup. The question, it's not even a question of what particular mode of baptism you receive, although I have my ideas about that. The question is, what is your personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he truly Lord of your life? Are you totally committed to him? You see, the false church dishonors Jesus. In their extreme forms, they deny that he was born of a virgin. If he was not born of a virgin, he was illegitimate. That's to dishonor him. The issue is, do we love and honor and serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we faithful to him even when others are unfaithful? Do we take our stand for him even when it means opposition and persecution? That's the deciding issue with all of us. It's not a question of denominational label. It's not a question of forms of worship. I believe there can be many legitimate, different ways of worshiping the true God. The question is, are you going to be faithful or unfaithful to Jesus? I hope I've made that issue clear. It's not a complicated theological issue. You don't have to know all the mysteries of divine election. You don't even have to be able to quote 500 verses of Scripture. But you do have to be totally committed to Jesus. That's the decision that we have to make. Don't let a lot of secondary issues obscure that for you. When you leave this place after these sessions, I trust you leave committed to Jesus. If you came committed, I trust you'll be more committed when you leave. That's the issue, commitment. Commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ.